Denalia Cotton, welcome to WUWM at Night.
Hi.
Well, again, it's just great to have you here with us tonight. As our listeners know, we've been featuring your new album, The Real Book, as our album of the week. First of all, I just wanted to say congratulations on another very powerful record.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad, you know, you like it.
And I really enjoy the variety of the songs as well. I want to talk to you more about the new album in just a moment. But first, just want to let people who aren't as familiar with you, let them know a little bit more about your background. The first thing that always comes across to me when I hear your music is your voice. It's so powerful and so well-trained, obviously. And you have so much variety in what you can do with it. Seems like you learned that very early on from your mother, who is a jazz singer, correct?
Actually, no. I mean, I learned, you know, there's natural ability but that you have that you kind of get just, but it was actually not until I got to Bennington and a jazz trumpet player named Bill Dixon, who taught at Bennington, who basically stripped me down, and I was not a willing participant initially. But I gave in, and he made me, he really, I mean, he did strip me down and build me back up, and it was pretty much some of the most powerful years of my life as far as like just training of the voice and the ear and, you know, what really went into singing and telling the story and just being true to a melody. It's just a lot of great lessons I'll never really forget.
And what was it about it that you weren't so enthusiastic about at the beginning?
Because I wanted to do all the runs and just, you know, you know, I wasn't about telling a story. Mm. It was more about how I sounded and how it came across, the sound of it versus, you know, how it made someone feel. And when I looked at what really moved me about music, it was how it made me feel. So I don't think that I was as in tune with what it took to sort of evoke that, you know. He taught me a little bit more about that part of it, that aspect of it.
And as a teenager, you got your first guitar and started doing some songwriting as well at that time. So how did that play into it? Did you feel like there was something more comfortable about having a guitar or an instrument between you, like not needing to be so raw and exposed through your voice, or am I off on that?
No, I did not know my father, so that guitar was really kind of my link to him. My mom gave that to me. That was really the real inspiration behind playing the guitar. It brought me a little bit closer to him. But it was also musical, which was my love, you know. So it sort of killed two birds with one stone.
And you also said that that you spent a lot of time in your room alone doing songwriting, that really saved you at that time. Can you tell me a little bit more about what you were going through as a young adult?
You know, the first album is entitled Small White Town. So, you know, it just trying to define my place in a world that was predominantly white and I wasn't, you know, really being comfortable with the way that I looked and who I was and, you know, how I identified myself, you know, in relation to everyone else. That's a lot for a young person. I didn't always, you know, do it very well. And so I was sad sometimes just trying to find my place. You know, when I was alone, I could create whatever scenario or story or picture. Music helped with that in every way. It took me outside of myself. I mean, that's kind of how that love affair began.
And it seems like you developed quite a wide palette as far as music that you appreciated it, music that you were influenced by, and that continues to this day where, I mean, you can sing just about anything that's out there, from rock to gospel to folk music. Did you just pick a song or a style of music depending on how it spoke to you emotionally?
Yeah, I mean, basically, genre isn't, I'm not picky or I don't, you know, if something speaks to me, it just speaks to me. I don't box myself in any way. I'm more moved by, if I'm feeling something and something made me, it got my attention, then I want to know what it is and I want to hear it and I want it in my world, in my circle. That can be anything.
Now I'd love to come back to your new album, The Real Book. And first of all, what does that title, what does that theme mean to you personally?
Well, there's the fake book, and that goes back to sort of my jazz roots from my mom and my professor at Bennington. But, you know, The Real Book, even though it's a covers album, that's just sort of a play on that whole title of that book. That's kind of, and that was the producer, actually, Kevin Salem, who came up with that idea, which I thought was pretty genius.
And you've worked with Kevin for a while now, right?
Yeah. This is probably our third album together. Well, third full album, and then we've done some EPs together, two EPs. So, yeah, I really adore him, and he's a producer, a mentor, a friend. He's quite an extraordinary human being.
I was reading a quote about, I believe it was your previous album, The Gun in Your Hand, but I think it applies to this one as well, that this is about survival. And it seems like you've been through quite a lot in the past years. If I have this all right, you lost unborn twins, you were diagnosed with thyroid cancer, you went through a difficult divorce. Any one of those things, I think, would have been enough to shut down most people, but you seem to pull through it in a very admirable way. And I'm wondering, did you go right to your music to help release all of the stress and the emotions that these experiences created in you, or was that even difficult at first?
Well, I'm not one to want to whore my tragedies, mm-hmm. but, you know, they definitely regain character not from the greatest moments in our lives, but we tend to gain character from the moments when we're picking ourselves up out of the dirt. The music allowed me to let go of a lot of these things in a positive way. It helped me deal with them, sort through them. I don't know. It gave me somewhere to go so that I wasn't always thinking about it. Mm-hmm. You know, my circumstances or the things that have happened. It was a safe place. It was a safe haven. I really haven't put into music and into songs everything that I've gone through to date, because I really have to get to a place where I can do that in a good way. Doing what I do, it definitely is a great way to recycle pain, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It has that beauty, you know.
Right. And as you said before, you'd been wanting to do a covers album for a while, but after everything that you had been through, not being a songwriter myself, I would think that a lot of people would have turned to songwriting and to creating new material. But you say that you gravitated towards these particular songs in this album because you knew that they would help you cope with the challenges that you're experiencing. So I'm curious, that must have been quite a long list of songs. And how did you and Kevin handpick the ones that did end up on this album?
Well, I mean, there were some great Joni Mitchell tunes that were on the list but didn't make it. I mean, we went through a lot of things. I mean, I think we both picked stories that in some way both or one of us could relate to in terms of like what was going on in our life or what we had gone through. You know, and even the order that Kevin put it, I love that the fact that it starts with Sweet Dreams and then it ends with the Zombies, This Will Be Our Year. I mean, there's a beautiful, and in between, you have Gimme Shelter, Bridge Over Troubled Water. I mean, there's a story sequence if you look at even the titles of the song from one to the last.
Yes, absolutely. Is there something about reviving or bringing your own rendition to a classic song, or a song that, even a more recent song like Gorilla by Bruno Mars, is there something about taking someone else's work and reinterpreting it as your own that in some ways is more freeing about that?
I mean, it's nice to jump into somebody else's story and find your story inside of their story, which is a beautiful thing that, you know, you hope as an artist that you do for your audience. They're also writing from a perspective that is theirs, which isn't my perspective, which is kind of refreshing and awesome. And, you know, it does something for me to step in somebody else's shoes, so to speak, and also find where I'm in that story and how I can use that and personalize and make it my own. So there's just a beauty. I think when you cover a song, you should find a way to make it yours. So each thing we picked, I think I really picked things that I could find my place in some way or find me in there somewhere.
Absolutely. And, you know, I may be completely biased by saying this, but I have to say that the Gorilla track, that's something that I love the way that you present it here and the way that you sing it, because it seems like almost that this is the way that it was meant to be played. And now his version sounds like a cover to me.
Well, oh, stop it. Just stop it. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I'll take that. I'll put that in my pocket. I call that, you know, a pocket thought when you're having a bad day.
But I also really love the Bridge Over Troubled Water track.
That was scary.
Really?
That was scary. I was like, all right, if we don't even halfway nail this, it's going in the garbage. Because I am not going down with some bad rendition. Yeah, there were some that I really loved, and we had to throw them out. I was just like, you know what? Original is just too damn good. I can't. Ours didn't come close. See ya.
Yeah, that's the double-edged sword,
yeah.
isn't it?
That yeah, you don't want to unless you feel it can at least hold its own. You gotta walk away.
Mm. Did you know the tracks that you wanted to put on this album, you and Kevin, or did you sort of test some of them on audiences to see like what was connecting?
We knew as musicians when it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I tried to do A Piece of You by Joni Mitchell, I just couldn't find my place in it. And it was beautiful, and it wasn't a bad rendition. I'm sure some of my fans would love it, but I was like, It just, to me, it didn't hold a candle, so it had to go. By no means was it bad. It just, to me, like, if you're going to go up next to that, no.
Yeah.
That's like going to the ball with sneakers on. So I was like, no.
Especially with her releasing new work, right? It's kind of like
I was like, bye-bye.
And as you said, that there's definitely a story progression, and the last track is This Will Be Our Year by the Zombies. And
great way to end it, yeah.
Yeah, and I find, too, just the time of this interview, since it's almost the new year, 2015, it's a fitting theme.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Since you've begun this project, does it indeed feel like it's been your year? Have things started to feel like they've turned around for you a little bit?
I feel like 2015 is going to be deep. It's going to be D year. Yeah. You know, yeah. I got a nice little feeling in my belly, so I hope I'm right.
Well, I certainly hope so. And wow, well, again, I just want to say congratulations on a fantastic new album. Some great tracks we've been enjoying here at WUWM. And want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
No, thank you so much for the support. Hey, everybody! No, thank you so much.
Oh,
thank you, really.
Our pleasure. And one more question. Any plans to come to the Midwest in 2015?
We always go to the Midwest. Mm-hmm. We got pizza out there. You know, just keep up on the Facebook and the website. I'll get my butt out there.
I hope it's at a warmer time of the year, although it's not that much warmer where you are. So
I know, but me too. I want to be in the warm.
Well, thanks again so much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, take care.
Okay.